Hello, everybody. I'm Amazon, and this is On's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 17th of August, 2021. In today's episode, we'll be talking about some new phones, including the Pixel 5a and ROG Phone 5s, 5s Pro. That's a new device. A bit of an update, like the other phone in question. On top of that, we've got some leaks about Realme's upcoming goodies that may already been released by the time you hear this episode, but we're going to talk about them regardless. And Intel's GPU plans with its new Arc architecture and much more. So without further ado, let's get rolling as always, shall we? With quite immaculate timing, Google has announced the release of the Pixel 5a 5G, its newest mid-range affordable Pixel model, which is drawing before the big Pixel 6 series in October. Although it's quite unusual for being a new phone, as if you look at the specs quite closely, it's almost similar to its predecessor, the Pixel 4a 5G. One point I'll add is that unlike last year, there's only one variant SKU or stock kit unit, you could say, with one color, and I'm pretty sure it's because of the chip shortages happening at the moment. But let's glance over the specs real quick. To start, you have a slightly bigger 6.34-inch FHD Plus OLED display with Gorilla Glass 3, no Victus, no 6, whatever. I mean, it's Gorilla Glass 3, right? It does the job. The same Snapdragon 765G, like on the Pixel 5 and 4a 5G, 6GB of RAM, 128GB of storage only. So if you want to take tons of photos and you really want a Pixel for it, again, this is a suggestion. There's no external storage. You'll definitely have to get Google Photos or do some sort of arrangement of sort of moving the photos off your phone after you've taken them, sort of like months later, so that you don't keep filling up your storage. I mean, if you don't want to get a cloud subscription or Google Drive or anything, it probably could get a USB-C thumb drive, and you could sort of move your photos from there. That's what I'd probably do if I'd had a Pixel. I'm sure, because it would do over the on-the-go USB OTG, so that should be there. The same dual camera sensors, speaking of the cameras, of course, the same dual camera sensors on the Pixel 5 and 4a, minus the spectral plus flicker sensor, which is there to do the moon mode, so you could see moon stuff, all that kind of stuff. You got a USB-C port, and at least unlike the Pixel 5, you have a headphone jack out of the gate. A slightly bigger 4,680 mAh battery with up to 18-watt fast charging. That's what Google stated on the site. 5G is available on this phone, but, and here's a big but, it only does mid-band 5G, but not the millimeter wave or C-band 5G that's available in the US. Which kind of sucks if you ask me. This phone costs $449 and will be available from August 26th. So, yeah, I mean, so that really is the 5A. I mean, it is quite a bit of an incremental update. It's not a revolutionary update, more of an increment, sort of a boop, we have a new Pixel. Okay, cool. And this is before the Pixel 6 comes out, which is interesting in and of itself. We've got to start with the fact that this phone has most components that have been used on the Pixel 5, like the processor, cameras, security chips, and more. But on the flip side, you get a slightly bigger battery, but you won't really tell given how optimized the Pixel experience tends to be. 5G support being limited to mid-band or sub-6 5G, sort of, is probably a big downside, given that the phone is mostly going to be sold in the US and Japan. And if you live in those kind of, and if you talk about good old USA, gigabit speeds can only be found easily on millimeter wave 5G, and you'll have to pay extra for that privilege. You have to get a more expensive phone than this to take advantage of millimeter wave speeds, which honestly sucks in that context. It probably sucks to be that person thinking that you get 1 gigabit plus downloads with a Pixel A series phone, and then turns out you only get the sub 200, 300 meg per second speeds. It's not bad, it's still 10 times better than 4G, but it's not what you've been promised from, say, AT&T or Verizon, or so on and so forth, you know? So, again, kind of sucks to not have millimeter wave in that context. For a Pixel A series phone, it is the first to feature IP67 water and dust resistance, which is a bonus to have at that price. But aside from that, what you're really paying for here is that clean Pixel experience that you just can't get on other Android phones. And that's to do with Pixel phones. It's not about sheer raw performance as you look at with, say, I could give you countless examples across a bajillion brands, all the biggest names, the smallest ones. It's always about the raw performance. You know, it's about the chip, it's about the camera, it's about everything in it. It's very fast if it's fast itself. So it's never about sheer raw performance. You get a rock solid vanilla Android experience, and that's a positive way of looking at it. But honestly, my opinion is that you wait for the Pixel 6 series to be available and for any offers on this phone to be had, hopefully probably by Black Friday and stuff. And $449 is solid in that regard, but compared to mid-range, if you compare it to mid-range options you can get in America, in the A51, the OnePlus Nord N10, the Nord CE, which you can get in the US. Oh, have I forgot? This phone is only coming to the US and Japan. Which I honestly believe, and honestly, we live in a global market for smartphones, and honestly, this is a little absurd, to be honest. But yeah, I think Google did announce it earlier that this phone was only going to be coming to US and Japan because of the potential chip shortages. But still, it's kind of absurd to hear that. But yeah, now that I've seen the Pixel 5a 5G come about, let's see what the Pixel 6 series has in store eventually. Can't wait for the Pixel 6 though. We now have seen what the more affordable option you can get in 2021. Let's see what you can get pretty much north of $500. What you can get above that price. So hoping for the best for the Tensor chip and all that in that sense. So yeah, let's see what they have for these phones subsequently. So we've already talked about what is essentially a decent incremental update from the Pixel 4a. Let's talk about a incremental update for one of the fastest smartphones that you can get on planet Earth. Asus has dropped the ROG Phone 5S and 5S Pro. And these phones are essentially some of the fastest Android phones you can buy in the world. Literally. In that sense. Now, we've talked about the ROG Phone 5 before. If you want to know more about it, it's in my wonderful, wonderful voice. I have done an episode on the ROG Phone 5. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just go scroll back through the episodes. I did do it several months ago, so then again, you'll probably scroll up and queue up the next episode where I mention the ROG Phone 5. I'll probably link in the show notes so you can go back and listen to that episode to get a refresher. But in case you forgot, the ROG Phone 5 is a bit of a monster of a gaming phone. It is one of the fastest Android smartphones out there. It has the Snapdragon 888 processor, great, but it's got beefy storage, beefy RAM, an incredible display, air triggers around the edges and all that kind of stuff. I mentioned it before, so there's not much to talk about and not much to write home about. But the ROG Phone 5S is the new increment, sort of the increment of the regular ROG Phone 5, in a sense that instead of the standard 888, now you have the 888 Plus. Right now, there are not many phones out there that have the Snapdragon 888 Plus in general, so it is one of the first phones you can say that's available that features the Snapdragon 888 Plus in that sense. But I think the primary difference with the Snapdragon 888 Plus over the previous one is that the main high performance core runs at around 2.995 gigahertz, which is a dramatic improvement from, say, 2.84 gigahertz. So it's touching the 3 gigahertz barrier, so it is an absolute beast in that regard. The regular 5, and now both phones almost are similar in specs. There are some differences, but obviously the key differences would essentially be aside from both having the Snapdragon 888 Plus. The regular 5S has up to 16 gigabytes of LPDDR5 RAM, up to 512 gigabytes of UFS 3.1 storage, whereas the ROG Phone 5S Pro, the Pro variant, has an additional 2 gigabytes of LPDDR5 RAM and the same internal storage that you can get out of the gate. The touch response rate, essentially, how quickly it sees your touches, essentially, on the display, that is now cranked up all the way to 360 hertz. So it's again, it is incredibly responsive compared to phones in its category. The Pro variant has an ROG Vision AMOLED display, so again, it's pretty high resolution in that sense. It hasn't really written for more on about that, but that's what it is. You also have the rear touch sensors, those triggers I'm talking about. So that's pretty interesting, nonetheless. But if you look at it primarily, these phones, aside from having Android 11, along with the ability to toggle refresh rates, and now you can toggle 290 hertz from 60 hertz out of the gate, from 144 hertz, and the couple of tweaks there and there, and the color variations and processor. Honestly, it's the same ROG Phone 5. Now you have a faster processor at the helm, so it's an interesting upgrade for what it is. Quite increment for what it is. Again, not coming slow here in that regard. Now, right now, we have pricing for the Chinese and Taiwanese markets. Primarily, so the base spec ROG Phone 5S will start from $29,990 Taiwanese dollars, so that's about $1,075 USD primarily, so more than $1,000 straight away. And the Pro variant will start from just $37,990 Taiwanese dollars. That would be roughly $1,362. That would be around, again, more than $1,300 straight off the bat. So it's quite interesting. We don't know when this will be available, but Asus has announced it, so it'll basically be soon available when they start selling the phone in general, more broadly. So we'll have to see about that. Not a tiny feat, but again, more performance, and more power to ROG in that regard. Moving on, let's talk about Realme. A lot is going on in the world of Realme these days. They got a lot of things going on. They got a lot of new things that they want to launch. The GT is already out, and it's been a bit of a hit in some places. It's yet to come to India, and that's where this next bit of news is kind of all about. The GT series in general is going to be launching in India. The GT Master, Master Explorer, and the regular GT phone will be launching in India, which is a bit of a big deal, because until now it's been mostly a select release in select regions, but now they're sort of also going to planning to bring it over to the Indian market, which is interesting. Primarily, we don't know how much it'll cost. There's not much information about it, but it should be competitive for what it is. But aside from that, the GT has been a bit of a hit in countries where it's already been launched. And we got new stuff coming out, as I said, left, right, from the folks over at Realme. There's a GT edition, there's the Master Edition of the Realme GT. We talked about it last week on last Tuesday's episode. But in case you kind of forgot, it's sort of the mid-range phone-ish. It's a bit of a mid-range phone. It's got some high-end components of the GT, and it's sort of a whole 100 or so euros cheaper than regular GT, so it's supposed to be a bit cheaper. It has it's got a Snapdragon 870, so it's again a toned down chip from the 888. Aside from that, you have a 120 hertz 6.55-inch Super AMOLED display, which is a bit of a big deal on a phone of this caliber. But again, it's and these specs I'm mentioning is for the Master Explorer, so it's a step down the GT itself, and then there's the Master, there's the GT Master as is, which just has a mid-range chip and mid-range specs, which is kind of interesting. Both phones can do 65 watt wire charging, so this we now know quite a lot about these phones that are kind of coming out, but now we now know the prices behind these phones. So to start with, the GT Master, which is sort of the cheaper sibling, you could say, the more affordable spec of the GT, sort of the three phones, will start at just 400 euros, because Realme's European online store has revealed the prices primarily, which is kind of interesting. So with all the specs that I mentioned for the Master, So it's 400 euros for the base spec, and then 500 euros for the Master Explorer 870, 120 hertz display, 12 gigabytes of RAM, 256 gigs of storage. So it's quite interesting. So 500 euros. So it's almost 50 to 80 euros less than the GT itself. I don't know about you, but I mean, if they have broad availability of this device, then that's kind of interesting. But yeah. But also, we also know the design already, because they've teased it quite a lot. But in case you're curious, the design's quite cool. It's got the back sort of... way to describe it, essentially, it's inspired by those rugged suitcases. If you've had those trolley cases, they're rugged. They're like plastic that's kind of quite rugged. But here you have sort of a vegan leather back, apparently. And then there's sort of a smooth back version with glass panel. Then again, it's going to give you that look of that rugged suitcase, sort of, as if you're carrying kind of that look. And again, it's covered by vegan leather, which is kind of interesting. And apparently, it's been designed by Naoto Fukasawa. I hope I didn't butcher that name. So that's kind of interesting, his signatures on the phone itself. So Realme also is trying to sort of have some chops with, you know, like, hey, we have a stylish product. Now, the thing is that tomorrow, sort of 18th of August, they're going to throw an event and they're going to show off these phones, all of them sort of, and they'll be available in the European and Indian markets. Now, about the Pakistani market, where obviously where I am right now, Realme have said on their social media, have teased a lot about the GT Master and Explorer, but interestingly, the launch date is not the 18th of August, it's actually next week, the 23rd of August. So next week they're going to show off the GT phones for the Pakistani market, and then they'll release pricing and all the relevant information. I would probably suspect that they're not revealing the GT Master series for the Pakistani market because of the Shura holiday. And I think it'd be kind of a bit disgraceful of Realme to do that during a sort of a sensitive time to sort of show off a new phone. You know, you don't want to tell people we have a new, you know, 80k phone, and you get the point if you know what I'm talking about. So I think it makes sense that they're gonna talk about it for the Pakistani audience next week. So if you live in Pakistan, the pricing for this phone will kind of be revealed next week. So yeah, I mean, but interestingly, this phone would probably cost under 85,000 rupees, sort of, for what it is. So it's quite, again, still, you look in the specs, it's quite competitive for what it is. But if you're in India and invest in Europe, they're going to show it off tomorrow, so you'll get to know how much it'll cost in those markets. And for the rest of the world, kind of, they're going to show it off next week. So till next week, sort of, we'll kind of find out more about these devices. So that's interesting, to say the least. On top of that, we already know a thing or two about the Realme book. Again, it'll be showed off with the GT Master and Master Explorer. And that is... this laptop is coming. We've talked about it before. We kind of know the specs about it. In case you're curious, this Realme Book apparently is going to be called the Realme Book Slim, because it's quite slender and it's an ultrabook. Has a 3:2 aspect ratio. It's got an 11th gen Core i5 processor. I suspect it's the more reasonably priced spec, sort of, where they have dual core processors, or at least quad core processors, and it's for ultrabooks of its caliber, like they have for Redmi and Xiaomi and Huawei's ultrabooks that they offer. On top of that, you have USB-C ports, backlit keyboard, and in teaser photos, we already see that there's a headphone jack, USB-A port, and two USB-C ports on the left side, a bit like the MacBook Air. It's hard not to compare this to the MacBook Air in that sense, because it's almost like it in that sense. But fortunately enough, Realme has also shown off some new quirky accessories that you might be interested in if you're going to buy this laptop. They have a little dongle that they're planning to sell. It's a bit similar to what Apple offers. And here you get another USB-C port, USB-A port, HDMI, which is pretty cool. So it's like you know, Apple's own dongle. We don't know how much it will cost also. That would be something to look forward to. If it is competitively priced, it's quite reasonable. Like most of Realme's accessories, it would sell really well. And even some people who have MacBooks and live in Pakistan and India don't want to pay the Apple tax, I think they'd happily buy this dongle if it's reliable, to say the least. I mean, it is almost all but confirmed at this point that this laptop is coming to Pakistan and India. I mean, the marketing heads over at Realme in both countries have kind of confirmed that this laptop's coming, and it's been teased pretty well. So it is coming, and it's quite exciting. Let's see what Realme has in store for this laptop, and how much they're willing to compete, sort of, and woo over laptop a buyer's potential. The price is, again, the price would sort of matter here. Hopefully it is not 1 lakh Indian rupees or, say, 2 lakh Pakistani rupees or something of that equivalent, because that would sort of kill the potential of this product. But interestingly enough, it's kind of a teaser. I don't know if it's a leak or a teaser, sort of. But you got to get Thunderbolt 4, USB-C 3.2, Gen 2, USB-A 3.1 Gen 1, primarily. So that's pretty cool. I think the Intel chip allows you to have Thunderbolt 4, so that's pretty exciting. So, really? You guys do an eGPU card thing? I mean, but the thing is, if it does do Thunderbolt 4, it'll surely work with all the Thunderbolt 4 accessories that you can buy in enclosures. Interesting enough, also in that kind of photo where they showed the hub, the dongle sort of, they always showed off a yellow mouse. As always, Realme does have quirky accessories. They're in their signature yellow. So that's kind of interesting. We don't know if it's wireless or not, so that's something to look forward to. And there was like another photo, again, this is sourced from Ishan Agrawal, so he's sort of shared this photo, and that is that, and this is like several months ago, that Realme was looking to offer gaming peripherals with the Narzo brand, and I think it would make sense given the brand in general, so that's interesting. But yeah, it's happening, guys. I mean, we'll find out on Thursday's episode all about the GT Explorer and the Master Explorer and the Master. It's quite complicated at this point. I'm getting kind of mixing the two, sort of. But you get where I'm coming from. And a laptop. So it's quite interesting nonetheless. Switching gears to the PC Master Race. And here's this bit of news that I think nobody saw coming. Nobody expected this to happen. I don't know why I'm burping a lot when I'm talking. I just don't understand. But Intel is getting into the GPU game. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Intel didn't make mobile processors, but oh well. But they're getting into the high-performance graphics game. You know, they're getting on NVIDIA and AMD's turf, if you ask me. So Intel is creating a whole new brand to offer sort of high-end GPUs and high-performance GPUs and graphics offerings, sort of everything from data centers all the way down to ultra-thin portable notebooks. We'll probably have compact versions of graphics cards sitting next to the CPU. And they sort of have a whole brand now that will compete with GeForce and Radeon, and you now have Arc. Intel Arc. You have Core, which does processors. You got WePro, which I think is for like the corporate environment. You've got the Xeon processors for workstations and supercomputers, and now we have Arc, which will basically be Intel's GPU brand. Now, their first generation of Arc GPUs will literally be based on a microarchitecture called XeHPG, and apparently it's codenamed Alchemist. So let's keep the name in mind, Alchemist. The first Intel GPU generation you'll see soon. Now, Alchemist graphics cards, as we'll tend to call it here, so laptops and graphics cards themselves, they'll start to be available from first quarter of 2022. So early next year, we'll start to see Intel's own GPUs on the market, literally on pre-built PCs, to gaming laptops, to workstations, and that's kind of exciting nonetheless. And apparently, essentially would be scalable. So it'd be a scalable graphics compute architecture designed to really scale from integrated and discrete computers all the way up to data centers and supercomputers that I've mentioned earlier. ARC graphics cards are based on the Xe HPG microarchitecture, a convergence of Xe low power, high power, and high power. I think high power compact. I don't know what HPC does mean. I'm sure it's corporate IT speak. Microarchitectures now deliver scalability and compute efficiency with advanced graphics features. Alchemist, the first generation of Intel Arc products, will feature hardware-based ray tracing and artificial intelligence-driven super sampling, and offer full support for DirectX 12 Ultimate. So these graphics cards will literally be running and getting really full metal to pedal. We'll be doing ray tracing from day one, which is a thing interesting to say the least. So that's what they're expecting for the first generation of Intel Arc GPUs. And there's more. There's more. We have three more generations of Arc GPUs to come. There's Battle Mage, Celestial, and Druid. I don't know how you say that, but it's pronounced as D-R-U-I-D. Druid. I try not to say it weirdly, but Druid. Not to say it like Druid, but Druid. So, Intel literally has planned three more generations of Arc GPUs. So, I mean, it's happening, guys. Intel is getting into the GPU game. We can't even find a graphics card, though, weirdly. I don't know how Intel is readying to produce on-scale, high-quality graphics cards. But, basically, Intel sees that there is incredible competition. More people are buying gaming PCs at this time. More people are working from home, and they're needing high-performance gear and graphics cards and gaming PCs that have that gear. And so Intel could enter that market in a big way. And so they're really trying to knock out AMD and NVIDIA and do it in a single punch with the GPUs. We don't know what the GPUs are. We don't know their performance. We don't know what the frame rates are on games or the overall CUDA core performance or any of that in that sense, or benchmarks. We'll have to see for that once the GPUs are announced. Again, they announced that they'll be arriving in the first quarter of 2022, so early next year, sort of. So by spring next year, you'll see these on new laptops and stuff. So again, it's quite exciting time for Intel. Who knows? Your high frame rate gaming experience could just have Intel inside. I mean, and if you remember the jingle behind the Intel Inside logo, you'll know what I'm talking about. So it's kind of interesting nonetheless. And finally, Roland Quant of VinFuture has sort of exclusively leaked this interesting product. If you're into active noise cancelling headphones, you're not going to buy the AirPods Pro. I know, because you're waiting for Bose to release new over-ear headphones. Good news, they have the QC45s coming very, very soon, because they kind of exclusively leaked the QC45s. The design overall is a little bit refined on the sides and edges, sort of. It's not a radical departure from the previous Quiet Comfort 35s that have come before it, the active noise cancelling headphones that Bose makes. Iconic active noise cancelling headphones over here. The choice of travelers around the world and active busy folks who want nothing but silence and nothing but their podcasts and conference calls and music and all that. It was pretty, pretty cool nonetheless. That's pretty cool nonetheless that we have another one that's about to launch. Interestingly enough, it is shockingly light because it uses synthetic leather and glass-filled nylon, which should offer maximum comfort and high resistance. As I said, in terms of looks, it's no more different than the previous Quiet Comfort headphones. In that regard, you have a tripod acoustic architecture, and that integrates a volume-dependent active equalizer. That's interesting nonetheless. So again, you'd even have awareness mode, like on the Sony headphones. So you could sort of run it at a level where you could still hear the background noise. It's fed into your cans, so you could still hear the outside world and not be completely disconnected. though you could still hear the background noise on Bose headphones. That's just my experience with the with the noise cancellation on those headphones. So you won't really miss it if you ask me. Interesting enough, you have a slightly smaller battery compared to the previous one. 460 milliamp hours, which, so it's not a big deal, but it could be significant if you use it on very long trips. There should be a headphone jack on this too, for those like long listening sessions that connect to your computer or you're on the plane, so you don't want to use the Bluetooth to waste the battery, so that's interesting nonetheless. In terms of playback time with music, you have to 24 hours of playback, which I think is impressive in and of itself. But then again, as I said, 20 to 24 hours of play time is kind of the norm for these kinds of headphones, in-ear or over-ear, regardless. You do have fast charging capability. Didn't expect Bose's headphones to have fast charging. I don't know why I'm laughing over it. It's important because, you know, they're headphones. You need them, you know how it goes. You can get 2 hours of additional playtime. You can get 2 hours of playtime from just 15 minutes of charging. So you could charge the whole thing in 2 hours, 2.5 hours with USB-C ports. Hey, it's one less charger to take, right? So that's kind of interesting. So according to VinFuture, Bose could be selling this QC45 soon, and they could be selling it for $330 US, which I think is quite a reasonable price compared to the Sony option, which essentially the 1000X Mark IVs that have already come out. So it's quite competitive, almost. You could say that Bose and Sony kind of are head-to-head in over-ear active noise cancellation headphones, so that's kind of interesting. Now, this has not even been out yet, and we now know how it looks like and how much it will cost. There's a bit of a reduction in runtime in the battery, but in return you have some new bits and bobs. There's USB-C, which I think is a welcome feature. I think it was on the previous Bose headphones, that's what I remember too. So if you really didn't want to get a Sony, you want to get the Sony 1000X Mark IVs or the other several trillion options in the market, there's always Bose. You might be interested in this primarily, so yeah. So we brought you the leak, sort of. So that's interesting, you know. I mean, it sounds interesting if you know what I'm talking about. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know. I'm on Instagram and Twitter @Sayed_Mao99. Follow me there while you're at it. Subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss another episode. Share this episode with your friends and family. All right. Take care. Have a great day. Until Thursday, this is your boy signing out. Thank you for listening. Ciao.